Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from the Reverend Fabian Wirtz entitled, Jesus, God with Us.
Amen. So our first reading is taken from the book of Genesis, our first book of the Bible.
In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants and yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth to rule over the day and over the night and to separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading is Matthew chapter 21, when Jesus enters Jerusalem.
As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A huge crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds then went ahead of them, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Did you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never heard from the lips of children and infants, 'You, Lord, have called forth your praise'?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, both Marilyn and Leslie, for those readings. Those of us who've been to church on Sunday, in most churches, we talked at least a little bit about Epiphany, is the start of this season. And it's linked to the story of the Magi, or the three kings, often told. We don't know if there were three, and mostly there were not, but we know there were three presents. And usually we associate those three presents with three physical people, and Magi with the idea of kings. But they most probably will be wise people, wise men, or learned people of the East who follow the sign, the star in the sky, who they believed was a sign of the birth of a new king. And that led them all the way to Jerusalem and to Bethlehem, where Jesus had been born. And Epiphany is this idea of revelation, or kind of manifestation, and it's linked with revelation to a people that were outside the Jews, and in those days there were two big groups: the Jews, the chosen people of God, and the non-Jews called the Gentiles. And so the story of the Epiphany is the Gentiles, those Magi who were non-Jews, who find in this baby Jesus the revelation, the manifestation of God on earth. And so this idea of Epiphany, maybe a more secular, is this idea of a sudden realization, a kind of a sudden clarity of thoughts. Some would use the word eureka, when you struggle with maybe trying to understand something, and all of a sudden there is a spark of light, a light bulb moment, where you realize a moment of clarity. In Eastern tradition, the Epiphany is actually called Theophany, which is realization of God, of his character and his desire and intentions and purposes. And for the Christians, the Epiphany is the need to have God himself involved in working in our heart, in our minds, so that we understand who God is, and more specifically, who Jesus is. And this is both what the readings are about. I think naturally we can all come to a certain realization that this world is more than just matters and material. And many people would come to the realization that there must be some kind of being that was at the beginning creating everything. And that leads many people to what often is called deism, which is the realization, yes, there might be a creator. And Genesis tells about God as creator. But I don't think we can really understand this being. And anyway, he might be very involved at the beginning, but he's not very much involved now. And so it's this idea of, for some, that God is the clockmaker, but has kind of left the world, or let the world have its own workings, and so we are now on our own to work things out. But revelation or epiphany makes us realize that this God is not just a distant God, but is a God that is very much involved with his world, an involvement that has at its heart a plan of rescue, a plan of transformation, a plan to bring back to himself the whole of creation that has been corrupted by humankind, by their desire to do things their own way and to turn away from a God. And so we have in the second reading this realization that some people have, that this Jesus is more than just a godly man or a good teacher, or here we have a prophet, but he's the son of David, which was a title to say he's the one we have been waiting for, the Messiah, the Christ, the one that comes to rescue us. And so here we have a different kind of God. Yes, we have Jesus, the ruler, the Christ, the King, but he's a ruler that rides on a donkey, not on a horse, as normally rulers of the time would do. And of course, horse and donkey for us, it doesn't really make sense. We don't use horse and donkey. So we might think about cars. And if you think of a ruler of today, important rulers, they will have one of the most expensive cars to make a statement. It might be a Rolls Royce. And if you are the president of the United States, you'll have it made in such a way that it would cost millions, because it would be bulletproof and with all kind of devices to ensure that president would be safe. So I think I would imagine Jesus not having such a car, such an expensive car, but maybe one of the cars that we would never go to. I don't know. I think in a few years was still Skoda. If you heard the word Skoda, you would never buy a Skoda. But I think today the Skoda is quite good. It's a nice kind of inexpensive car, which has a good engine now because it's Volkswagen. So, but I think Jesus would have used a Skoda instead of a Rolls Royce or a Pontiac or a costly car. And that's, we need God's help and God's Holy Spirit to realize the God who is with us, Jesus, God with us. And people cry, Hosanna, which is a cry of an appeal for the divine help, which he says, Hosanna, save, rescue. They want Jesus to rescue them from the occupation, from their captivity to the Romans. And their hopes must have been really dashed when they saw Jesus hanging on the cross. How could that man be the one to come, the conqueror, and being defeated by the Romans and by the religious leaders? This passage, we have those two attitudes. One is the shout of acclamation, and the other is the shout of turmoil or the anger from the chief priest. And so we have in this passage the kind of contrast between those of faith who recognize something in Jesus that is beyond what they can see, and those who see in Jesus a threat to their orders and their authority. Jesus comes to the temple and says, this should be a place of prayer. And by prayer, he means a place where people can find healing and wholeness. And so in very practical way, he sees a blind and a lame, and he cures them. But they've made it a den of robbers, a place where they could make money, a place where they could control people through hierarchy and power and authority, not a place of blessing, a place where people could find God, peace and healing. And a little bit further, we have those crying again, Hosanna, son of David, and they become angry. So epiphany is the idea that we all need help from God to realize who God is, who Jesus is, and who we are in relationship with God, our need to be rescued, and our need to be transformed, and our need to have Jesus daily in our life. Jesus, who on the cross wasn't defeated by the Romans or the religious leaders, but was actually breaking the curse that is on all of us, death itself and the power of sin, by taking our place on the cross, by having the punishment, the consequences for disobedience and the rebellion put on himself. Jesus, who is God with us, takes away the power of sin and death for those who trust in him. And so this Sunday, we had this amazing passage of Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus, a teacher of the law, who sees in Jesus a teacher. He says, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of God because you do great things, and no one can do those kind of things if God is not with him." But Jesus tells, "There is still something you lack. You see me as a teacher, but I'm much more. And for that, you need to be born from above. You need a rebirth." And he speaks of the Holy Spirit that gives that. And we don't know how he does it and when he does it, but we can pray. If you listen to that and you're still not sure about who this Jesus is, that's the most important question in the whole world. That's the real epiphany, to come to a place where you realize that Jesus is God with us. He's not just a teacher, not just a prophet, not just a great moral person. He's God in flesh, coming to us to bring us home and to give us new life. In a sense, we're all blind to the reality of God. We might have some kind of understanding, but not the whole. And in a sense, we're all lame. We're all stuck in ways where we can't change ourselves. But Jesus comes to open our eyes and to allow us to walk and even run a new way, a new life. So this year, let's pray. If our eyes are open, that we will be instruments to help others to see by God's grace, that our lives will speak of that new life, that people will see that we are different, not so that we can get proud, but so that people can become thirsty and hungry for what they see in us and through us. And pray for the church, that it will, in wisdom but in boldness, speak the truth about Jesus, who is the only rescue for this world, the only hope for our nations, the ones who will one day come back. So there is still time for anyone to come to him and to receive grace and mercy. So let's pray for the day and its tasks, for the world and its needs, for the church and her life. Jesus, name above all name, beautiful Savior, Lord, ruler of this world. Holy Spirit, thank you that you have opened our eyes and our heart to the reality of your presence in our world. You always bring people to Jesus, to Christ, to see on the cross the greatest day in history, the place where the power of sin and the power of death was finally broken, the curse lifted, and you say that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, so that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. And that eternal life starts today. And for us, we have experienced that start of new life for us maybe many years ago. But you do say, "Abide in me, We can only continue to experience your life as we abide in you. Thank you for this morning prayer. Thank you that as we open ourselves to you, you promise to fill us, fill our minds and our eyes, our hands and our hearts with your presence. So help us to be your witnesses to our neighbors, to the people under this town, and wherever you send us.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.